Better on Draft podcast is part of the PodcastDetroit.com network and is recorded live in the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming in Ferndale, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back. Here is Dan, Nick, Ken, and Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode number 49 of the Better on Draft podcast. Wow. That's right. We've been doing this for 49 weeks.
Actually, 50 weeks now. Think about that.
Well, 50 weeks because we did miss
50
one.
50 weeks ago, we started it. Not too bad.
Not too bad. Beginning of October 2015.
We started it actually before that. We were talking about this 2 months before getting going.
And I was doing it like 6 months before that with another host.
Yeah.
But, you know, Wednesday morning or Wednesday, 2 o'clock,
hammered. Wednesdays. What are y'all doing?
What are you guys doing? Oh, we're getting hammered recording a podcast. Oh, what are you going to do that night? Sleep.
Yeah, I'll be in bed by 7. It's good times. I wasn't around that show.
No, you weren't.
Because you're working. 2 o'clock
on
Wednesdays.
2 o'clock on a Wednesday you were working. I was working for the company I was still working for now, so I was always able to make my schedule so I could drink really whenever I wanted to. And now I don't have that beauty of making my own schedule, so people just schedule me whenever the hell they want. What's going on?
What's going on, Ken?
You're how was Miami?
West Palm Beach was very nice.
Did you get Zika?
I did not get Zika.
Are you sure? Have you been tested?
I haven't been tested. I was pretty much in a bar most of the time.
You can still get bit. I mean,
I don't think there were flies in the air-conditioned bar that I was in. If you checked their Untappd, I went through quite a list. I think halfway through, I just stopped.
You're basically saying you were a degenerate the whole time you were gone. Nothing wrong with that.
I would work for like 4 or 6 hours.
Wait a minute. Yeah, he said he wasn't going to be here this week. He just flew back in today.
I don't want to hear
flying back and coming to the show, please.
I got in at 4:30. And I drove the hour home and then came back. And
oh, wow, congrats. I've never done that. Yeah. I've never done that.
Well,
did you cross 6 time zones to get here?
No, keep going.
All right, so anyways.
You see that flexing that Dan's doing right now?
I don't want to hear the whining.
I was waiting for it.
I miss Dan so much.
I knew you did. Everyone does.
So, Dan, how are you?
Hey, what's going on?
I'm all right. You're drinking not PBR, not Newcastle, not Trooper.
You know, I could have grabbed PBR out there. I thought about that, but no, I got some Black Butte Porter.
This is like the fourth six-pack
I've killed this week. I hate to say that. It's pretty good.
Have you had a rough time at work? But Nick has a rough time at work, he goes for the Max Ice House from Labatt.
No, it was just one of those weeks. I'm like, I feel like drinking some beer. Normally, I don't drink during the week. I was like, and I saw this at the store right by my house. And I was like, I'm just going to drink this. And it's pretty good. I'll kill another one. Yeah.
Six-pack later, you walk back to the store to get another one.
No, we try to not go that far, but
it happens.
Yeah, it has. It does.
It used to happen all the time.
Daily. But.
Rob, what's going on?
Hey, there's another Good Friday.
You got a Founders in front of you.
Yes, I am taking care of one of my leftover Sumatra Mountain Browns, which I think I'd
Ken's jealous.
A little. Just a little.
A little. Yeah, so
I've got a few beers in there, but our guest was thankful enough to bring us some beers, so I'm going to start off drinking theirs.
Yeah.
Why don't we go right into our guest? Why don't you introduce yourself? Where are you from?
Sure. My name is Eric Benton. I'm from Rochester, Michigan, but I'm one of the owners of Experimentation Brewing Company in Pontiac.
All right. And you guys just opened, right?
We just opened on July 21st, yeah.
And how's that going for you over there? I mean, that's July 21st, so that's at least a month and a half.
About 6 weeks in. Yeah, it's good in the sense that we're paying our bills, but Pontiac is still kind of up and coming, right? So the Strand is still on its way to being open. The Slows is almost open. So there's a little thing going on down in Pontiac, if people haven't been there in a while. There's four or five things that are open right close to each other. So there's a little bit of a core, and we were the first ones to actually open our doors.
I was going to say, there's the last time that I was in Pontiac wasn't too long ago, but really the only place I go to, there's an Irish pub off of 59. I want to say it's Kelly's.
No, I know what you're talking about. It's a little Kennedy's. Bit further down. Yeah, that's down Kennedy's. More closer to Telegraph.
To Waterford.
Waterford. I'm kind of a Pontiac guy. I spent a lot of time with her. Are you in the old Bose Bistro building?
We're not in Bose Bistro. We're in what was the old Blue Note Cafe.
Okay, because I remember looking. I was like, I swear that's Bose. Like, looking at your pictures, because I think you were supposed to be here originally another time, and
yep.
Whatever happened, I saw that. So what's your demographic like? You've got electricity right there.
Uh-huh.
And are you getting I like electricity. I don't know about the rest of you guys. I mean, if you like that kind of
thing. Is that the name of a bar or a club?
No, that's probably the biggest club in the area. Oh, okay. I mean, that's where all the...
I'm thinking it was like a DTE power plant over there. So, yeah. Woo!
No, I've seen quite a few acts over there. So what kind of crowd are you drawing over there? Are you drawing those kind of people? Are you drawing the locals? What do you think you're getting in there?
It's a lot of locals, and it's a lot of people that are, you know, craft beer aficionados that are just coming because it's a new brewery or, you know, we have a fairly decent network of people we work with too that come in. So
nice.
Pontiac's got it's actually surprising how many people live down there. So yeah. A lot of the lofts have been refurbished and they're all really nice, but you can't even get into them anymore. They've got like 25 person waiting lists for each one of them.
I've been in a couple of them. They are really nice. You got to climb like 5 flights of stairs because those buildings are tall and
No elevator or anything?
No, most of them don't. You got to think about that. So.
But we're on the first floor, so that's not a problem.
That's good, yeah.
But no, it's actually really it's been really surprising how inclusive that community is. So everyone that's local is really like pushing that to help out. So it's great. It's mostly local people, and then we've had people that have come from like Indianapolis and the UP just because they're trying to hit every brewery and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, that's awesome. That's good to hear. Yeah, that's been a wasteland if you think about it. I mean, everything's closed down. You think Mustang Jane's and whatever it was before that, 7, all those places are gone.
So Mustang Jane's is going to open again.
Oh, wow.
So Vogue is the new name of the place, I guess.
How long will that last? I mean, think about it. Even Tonic's gone, and that was there like 20 years.
Well, I mean, anything can spiral down, but I think Pontiac, if you're looking at it right now, and if you were to come look at it, there's a lot of stuff that's going on from a construction standpoint, so I really feel like it's on its way back.
Well, I hope.
It hit the bottom, and now we're climbing back up.
I always think because Lafayette Market opened, and I was like, that's kind of sticking out, sore thumb, so it's good to hear that's coming back. I used to hang out there, and we're talking 97, 98, that era, so...
Well, I mean, I've been down to Pontiac with you a few times, probably almost a decade ago,
because
we used to be, you know, over at Tiki Bob's.
Get the
Nice Day Cafe.
Yeah, all of that. Yep.
Wow, it's almost like a trip down memory lane.
I was an industry guy. I used to go to industry back in the day.
We were talking about the Phoenix Amphitheater earlier.
Oh, that's like... falling apart.
What was funny was that I was talking to – so I was playing Guts Frisbee this weekend, and I was talking to a guy. I never met the guy before in my life, and somehow we got on the conversation at Green Day, and he said, yeah, I saw Green Day in 2001, Phoenix Amphitheater with the Living. So we had this giant conversation of like how Green Day, like everyone was dehydrated because they wouldn't turn on the water spigots or anything like that because they wanted everyone to buy water.
Okay.
And so they said like whoever was putting on the show, so I assume either it's going to be the band or one of the promoters, was like, you guys need to do something because we got people fainting because they're obviously they're on a, if you guys have never been to the Phoenix, it's a the rooftop of a parking structure. So there's no shade anywhere. There's nowhere for you to hide.
I'm going
to
say, I haven't been there. My brother used to go there because I think he probably saw Helmet and like Sepultura.
Helmet,
and
what a great show to go see.
Which I think they're actually they're doing another tour, like getting ready to. So
Carrie Slayer is going to be in town tomorrow.
Lord.
Kerry King will be there. I mean, the rest of the band isn't. I don't even know who else is still in Slayer these days.
But yeah, my brother's been there, and he said he's pretty much just come home and just like buckets of sweat. It looks terrible.
So in regards to how many taps do you have right now rolling at the brewery?
Yeah, we've got 6 that we started with, and it changes every time, you know, whether we have 5 or 6 that are on tap. So right now there's 5 that are on tap.
Okay.
We have plans to expand, but we went into this really like low budget, but it was basically all out of pocket money. And then we built most of what's in there. So right now we're still serving out of a kegerator with half barrel kegs and some quarter barrels. And then we have plans to expand and build a cold room in the basement. We'll increase the tap count.
So you're basically trying to run a no-debt company.
Well, it's definitely not no-debt, but it's...
well,
a brewery and no-debt.
It's low-debt, right?
Yeah.
That's a conservative approach. Yeah.
Yeah. So you're not pretty much just blowing out loans and doing, you know, right. everything to open up the biggest, best brewery. You're doing it on your terms in regards to, you know, slowly growing and continuously expanding. Because there's so many things that you can do with a brewery, including just simply adding tap handles, sure. let alone whatever else you can do. So how did the name Xfermentation come about? Like, what is the story behind the name?
Yeah, that was – so there's three of us that own the place. It's Scott Boughton, Andy Stamper, and myself. And we just had a two-and-a-half-hour text blast while we were at work and going over a bunch of different name combinations. And I think it just came to settle in on Xfermentation, being experimenting with fermentation. The other two guys are engineers. I am not, but you know, we're all in a professional setting, so we kind of figure we go with that. And part of the shtick is we're totally creative, so we don't do anything that fits any type of beer guideline, right? We don't have a quote-unquote IPA or a pale ale. We have our versions of things that probably wouldn't make it for a type of competition. But so we're going to continue to experiment and put things together that we at least haven't seen before.
So talk to us about what we're drinking right now then.
Yeah, you're drinking Pink Tickler. So Pink Tickler is a hibiscus wheat. As you guys can see, it's really like a dark pink, reddish type beer. The hibiscus gives a little bit of a sour note to it, but that's the hibiscus. It's not actually a soured beer. And it's kind of one of those beers that people, especially people who aren't necessarily into craft beer, it's a nice approachable beer for people. A lot of people that maybe are more on the wine focus come in and give it a taste and are really interested in it. So I thought I'd give you kind of two examples of the extreme ends of what we have. And the other one is our Kona coffee stout, which isn't extreme in the extent that it's a coffee stout. People have those, but we kind of went way overboard with the Kona. So it's almost like a cold or a cold brew coffee, except for it's 7.2% alcohol.
Oh, wow. All right.
It sounds like the water we were talking about earlier. just a little, the little water that's 5% alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that.
Sparkling water.
Nice. So did you brew before you opened up the brewery yourself? Were you a home brewer?
Yep. We started as a home brewing thing. We were going in my – started my kitchen, moved to my back porch, had a bunch of stuff in 5-gallon, fermenters and – one night, it was in my coat closet, and I heard this big pop, and kind of left it be, and woke up in the morning, and there was just hops and wort all over our coats, and that's when my wife had a good idea that maybe we should go find somewhere else to brew, so...
It's always the wives.
Yeah, it was a great
say,
moment.
This sounds like a repeat story of another brewery that we had.
Say we've heard this before. Yeah.
So we ended up renting a space in downtown Rochester on South Street in an old flashbang grenade factory from World War II. 1,000 square feet. We were brewing on, 15-gallon batches and so on and so forth. And our friends would start coming, and they started bringing people. And by this time last year, or a little bit earlier than this, we had, 30 people coming every week. So they were drinking more beer than we could make. And we're like, okay, I mean, we should probably try to sell this at least, right? So we went to our landlord and said, all right, man, we're going to go pro. And he said, get the F out of here. There's no way. This building's not passing any type of inspection, so you guys are out of here. So we did an extensive search for a place to be, and that's how we found Pontiac. So I walked into that place with Andy, and it was immediate. We knew, this is the type of field that we wanted to have, and signed the lease, and we spent the last 9 months, or almost a year, I guess, building out to get to opening.
Nice.
So we got the Kona and the Pink Tickler.
Yep.
What other, I guess you could say, non-normal beers do you have on draft right now?
So we got a coconut cream stout, which we use toasted coconut, which people kind of come off and say, I'm not a big fan of coconut, but it's really like the caramelized sugars of the coconut. So it's smooth, a little bit on the sweeter side, kind of model after a coconut cream pie. And then we have a... Grapefruit Rye IPA, which is maybe the most down the middle of the beers that we have, but it's an 8.2% IPA with a lot of zest and juice, and then a heavy amount of rye, so a little bit peppery, a little bit grapefruity. And then we have a beer on there right now called Mysterious Imposter 2, which is kind of like a brown ale, but with a high hop content.
Oh, that sounds good.
I was going to say
hoppy brown.
Well, I'm pretty sure like the English browns are a little bit more hoppier than the American style browns. So
depends on what you're getting. I mean, like you think about the Good Humans from Shorts. Is that I don't even know what kind of brown that is, but
I don't know. Like, I can tell you the last time I've had that from brown. Shorts.
Good hoppy brown. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I'm definitely the big brown fan over here. So trying to always find different browns, new browns. Some are really, really bad in regards to the stuff that I've had, and a mediocre brown tastes good to me.
Okay,
so like a bad, if I find a bad brown, that's usually not good for whoever's making that brown.
I haven't had a bad brown. Have you really?
Uh-huh.
I don't know. We won't go into details.
we'll talk about that during the first break. But I can say you can guess the brewery. By the way, I'm saying you can guess the brewery. So with that in mind, so how many people do you guys sit right now in Pontiac?
We got room for 82.
Wow, okay.
We've got it's about a 1,500 square foot place, but we have a kind of mixed seating. So we have some couches and things that you can kind of lounge on. And then we also have a bunch of door tables. So we found doors in the basement of our building, and we built them in the tables. And then our landlord found out we did that, and we asked for forgiveness, and moved on.
So, sounds like, yeah. We had someone who did that before they found wood and built the, was it?
Might have been Sellerman's.
Sellerman's, that's who it was. Found wood and built tables or
yeah, they did a lot over there. That was definitely, well, they built everything over at Sellerman's. Like, yeah. They dug the trenches for their piping. They definitely went all out in regards to it, as opposed to, when Bee Nectar opened up their tap room, I guarantee you, and I'll put money on this, they went to Salvation Army and just bought whatever they had. So like,
as in what? Bought what? Like,
there would be like
buy some shirts.
No. No, like, you there would to, be
you
like
go to
a
good Salvation Armies. You can find some couches,
like
and some tables.
Oh, I got okay,
like one of those like circle picnic tables that would put the umbrella in the middle, but like around it would
oh,
be like
amazing.
You'd have one folding chair, one tall chair, one wood chair,
one computer chair.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly what it. And I'd be like, well. All right, I guess. I mean, they basically just put a person in front to work the main taps while they're brewing in the back. So
amazing.
It wasn't.
That's
well,
a
that's
great time.
There's a few places. Like I know there's a juicery out in Birmingham that's in this industrial park far away from everyone called Beyond Juice, and it's where they do all their it's their commissary. And they're like, well, we're gonna have people here. We might as well just open for business in case anybody stops by, because it doesn't matter. We're not hiring any extra people. So that's what I think Bee Nectar did was that they actually went out and did a full on tap room over at the Ferndale when they moved locations.
See, I remember going there. This is probably 5 years ago. And all it was a 1,000 square foot room of fermenters and a picnic table with people serving samples.
Yep. That's yeah. it's probably right before, you know, when I had gone there, because you probably met Jefferson, who was the redheaded guy with the big beard. Yeah, he was like the face of Bee Nectar for a while.
Okay.
So definitely an interesting the way Bee Nectar was set up was definitely interesting. But that's great that you guys can fit 82. Are you guys open every day or?
So we started out Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We expanded to Sunday immediately, and then starting next week will be Tuesday and Wednesday as well.
All right.
So we're 5 to 10 during the weekdays. We're still all fully employed as well, right?
Yeah,
so,
that was a follow-up question.
Right?
Was,
yeah, pretty common.
Right,
yeah.
Run from
very
work
common.
To get the growlers to down here. So, yeah, we're still doing that thing. We did hire some people, so we're expanding a little bit in terms of hours. And the other side of it, we don't want to stay open until, like, midnight or 2. We're not really here to be, like, a club and have people, you know, stumbling over themselves. So
you don't want the electricity overflow, like, 1 o'clock. Yeah. Let's go to the brewery.
Yeah,
like, totally
rather
different.
Rather than be our overflow, to be honest.
Nice,
you
yeah.
Know, like, it would work out better for us. So, yeah, it's 5 to 10 during the week and 2 to 10 on the weekends.
Nice.
That's not bad.
You ever think at least midnight or?
So we've talked about doing like 11, and we're pretty flexible on the hours. Like 10 o'clock is our closing time unless there's like 30 people in there and there's
yeah, there's 50 people still drinking and ready to go.
Yeah, we're not in a hurry to get them out of there. But until things kind of build up a little bit down there, right now the people that are coming to see us are coming to see us just for that reason. They don't accidentally happen upon us. So
makes sense.
You know, they're there to have some good beer, and then they take off. They don't usually want to hang out till midnight on a Thursday.
You'd be surprised. Yeah. I was at the Loving Touch last night, and there was a lot of people there hanging out.
Is that
out.
A brewery or is that a strip club?
It's a pool.
It's a pool hall.
Oh, okay. All right. Because
it's owned by the WAB. So it's part of the WAB.
It's part of the WAB, which is funny because as he said that, you know what the first thing I thought of is the pool hall over at 12 and DeQuinder Plush Pocket.
Oh, God. Oh, man. We haven't been there in
I haven't been there in two weeks.
Oh, my bad. Were you playing blackjack?
No, I was playing pool. They don't have blackjack.
It's a long time since that's gone.
No, there was it was only like $4 an hour for a table. So I'm like, that's not a good deal. Yeah, because we got half off because technically our buddy Brown is in the service industry, even though he's a blackjack dealer. Well, a card dealer. So
crap stealer.
Yeah, yeah. He's definitely a... That's the service industry, according to them. So, yeah, we got a decent deal. So it was like $8 for 2.5 hours worth of pool. And I'm like, I can afford this.
Yeah. I can afford $8.
Yeah. Also for the fact that I wasn't drinking that night, too. So I'm like, you guys can drink. I'll cover the pool. No big deal.
Got the DD over here.
Nice.
I was going to say, nobody's abused that for me, you know, for not drinking and being like, hey, you should come out. And then I come out and they're like, yeah, we want you to drive us home.
Thanks for giving me an idea now. Thank you.
That's what we need.
Hey, Dan's really wants to hang out with me. This is awesome. Well, I just wanted you to drive me home.
I'm already shit-faced, so go ahead and just drive me home.
Get that call tomorrow night. Let's go to Smalls.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
It still puts you ahead of Uber, though. I mean, he cares enough to invite you and not just pay.
Oh. No, I usually use Uber quite a bit, especially on the weekends.
Oh, never mind. Use this while you're
out. I'm just thinking, for your ride. No.
So is there a kitchen? Any plans on a kitchen?
Yeah, we get a lot of requests for that, so there's still kind of a food desert down there. There's a couple nice places like the Menagerie, and Lafayette Market has good sandwiches, Alley Cat as well, but they're not all open very late. So the lack of foot traffic kind of limits that. So we've had a lot of requests to add food. We messed around with doing some craft hot dogs this weekend. So if you went to our Facebook site or our website, you'd see some of the ones we were kind of trialing. There's no imminent time frame on when that's going to happen. So our investment is based on how much capital we have after the month. So it's at the top end of our list, but I don't know exactly when we're going to start adding the food. We have chips now, and we'll probably add cheese and salami and that kind of thing, but in terms of like cooked food, we're not quite sure yet.
So craft hot dogs?
Craft hot dogs, yeah.
So what kind of combinations have we come up with?
So
craft hot
dogs? Yeah, what we had on Monday was there was a spicy mac and cheese with jalapeno craft hot dog, and then there was a hot dog in a thyme onion crepe with Merlot reduction sauce and brie, and then a sauerkraut cheese sauce with jalapeno tequila reduction, and a Belgian waffle with maple syrup and bacon.
Gourmet hot dog.
Yeah, wow. I was going to say, that's not craft. That's gourmet.
What's going on there?
When the word reduction comes out, that's gourmet.
Anytime you use the word reduction, that's just a
sous-son.
Somebody's got a sous chef back there.
So, well, you know, you mentioned craft hot dogs, and there's actually a craft hot dog place in Dearborn called Stadium Hot Dog.
Craft hot dog.
So what they do is basically you order a hot dog, and their toppings are literally like almost like Subway with the amount of toppings you can have on this. So their whole mentality is the fact that they're all kosher, and it's an attempt to get the non-drinking, I guess you could say non-drinking for the most part, Muslim group down in Dearborn. A sports bar that they can go to and watch sports without alcohol present or anything like that. So great business plan for them down there. But like you can get a foot long hot dog with like mozzarella sticks on top of it, chili and cheese.
Hot dog with mozzarella sticks.
It's actually really good.
That's actually, apparently tried this.
I mean, obviously he's been there. Because he's bringing the place up.
You mentioned the hot dog bar. I think Binion's in downtown Vegas. I'm pretty sure you'd been there for that, where you get the hot dog and you go up to. No, they. Oh, wow. Okay.
Is over at Binion's Horseshoe?
So, yeah, the sports bar in the back. Mm-hmm. You would order the hot dog. They give you the foot long hot dog. You go up to the bar where you put all the whatever you want. It's like a salad bar, but all the different stuff.
Is that like the new ice cream thing where you pay for the ice cream and then you weigh it with all the toppings?
Yeah, same type
of thing. That was all a compliment. You buy the thing and unlimited toppings. They're like, oh, let me go put all this stuff on my hot dog and eat it.
Well, see, that sounds more like the Mongolian Grill where you pay for a bowl and you try to stack it as high as possible.
Same thing, but on a hot dog. Same
but
concept.
I don't know if it was here, but I learned you always put the vegetables at the bottom.
No, that was
the
here.
Meat at the top.
That was Matt
giving it to us last week on how to do that.
Right.
that was hysterical.
Got it.
Business is going good?
Yeah, it's as good as you can expect for being the only thing around. So we did make it into the black after our first month, which is pretty impressive, we think.
That's very impressive.
Yeah. So, and that's with zero marketing dollars or anything like that. So hopefully we can start getting more people aware of us. And we're doing some things like we have a group run every Tuesday if you're really into running and then drinking. We've got that. We've got a detox retox we did, which was a yoga session in our brewery, which was followed by drinking, of course.
Nice.
Detox retox.
It's like the opposite of Bikram yoga.
The thing is that these runner clubs that meet up at breweries, and same with the yoga at breweries, are becoming a big thing.
Like, definitely.
You know, there is a brewery that does yoga and beer, and that's North Center Brewery, Northville, Michigan. You can check them out over on North Center Road, just south of Baseline 8 Mile, and check them out. Say hi, Bob and the gang. Play some shuffleboard.
Love shuffleboard.
Nice.
Yes.
Pretty sure 8 Degrees did that too. They don't do it regularly, but I've seen that they've done that before, where they've had pretty much cleared the tables out of the way. And did yoga.
So while you're shopping for your beer, someone's in a downward facing dog.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to do some yoga while I'm buying my 12% like barrel aged stout.
That's definitely something that I want to touch on today, because I had showed you guys a post I made on Facebook 2 years ago.
Oh, was that you? I thought that was Matt posting stuff.
No. That was me from 2 years ago.
I assume that was Matt doing something.
Definitely going to be an interesting topic over in segment two, I guess you could say. We actually have segments here, even though it just like rolls right into one thing.
Exactly.
Since we don't have like breaks for the podcast portion. There's music while you're listening live, but no breaks during the podcast portion. One of the things we ask a lot of people who started homebrewing, what was your first homebrew?
It was something that was brew and bag. It was some kind of kit that I started with, and it was probably just an IPA. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah.
Most of the beers I brewed at home, I don't remember, because it was in conjunction with drinking at the same time. So there's a bunch of recipes that were made that were really, at least seemed really good at the time, that I couldn't remember what we did, because, you know, we were drinking the whole time.
Nice.
So, what was like? Do you have a beer that you're hoping to bring that you homebrewed and you really enjoyed, or obviously the 30 people that were showing up per week that they really want you to brew again?
So we got a group of about 15 that we settled through the homebrewing process, and then when we were in Rochester. So we started out with the ones that we mentioned. In the next month or so, you'll see the introduction of Dynamic Entry, which is a double hibiscus wheat with Pinot Noir that we brew in there.
So it's kind of like this, but...
Like that with wine in it, and it's 11% alcohol.
Jesus.
Yeah. So the story on actually that one was interesting, because we were brewing it one day in that old facility. One of our neighbors, because it also had people who lived there, was evicted, and he came back anyway and then picked a fight with the landlord, which we didn't know. But he came in and, you know, hey, how's it going, guys? And then a couple minutes later, our doors busted open and the cops came in with assault rifles looking at this guy. So nice. It was that's why it's Dynamic Entry, because we were dynamically entered by the
sounds like you weren't griefing anyone on a video game and then called it.
Yeah.
They swatted him.
Yeah.
Damn.
So, yeah, that was an interesting day. Never
and you said
a,
you had...
assault rifle at me.
Imposter? What was that called?
Mysterious Imposter.
But you said it was number two, so was there a previous version of it, or...?
Yep. Yeah, in Mysterious Imposter, because we experiment, some things don't turn out the way we expected. So our shtick is that if you see Mysterious Imposter, it's something that we tried that turned out differently than what we wanted it to turn out, but it was still good. So it was actually the first one was our number one seller for like 3 weeks until we sold out of it. But so Mysterious Imposter 2 is another one that we tried. So the Hoppy Brown was a little off of what we were hoping. So we wanted to reserve the name for something that it was supposed to be, but it was still good. And it's one of our better selling beers too. So,
so is that just kind of like a series of unfortunate events? Like,
God, I hope it's not a series.
Well, like I imagine you'll have like a maybe a imposter number three, just because
it's
the next time you're trying to play around with something and it doesn't quite.
I'm sure it will happen at some point, but I hope it's not very soon. that was a little bit of a different situation. But beyond dynamic entry, we're going to then introduce our Trace Winey, which is a triple Belgian, which is also brewed with the Pinot Noir and the peanut butter chocolate porter, which...
Rob's ready.
Shit.
Well, hopefully it's better than Jade and James, and then we can just run over to Pontiac as opposed to Grand Rapids, which, by the way, spoiler alert, next week we're going to have some Jade and James here.
Oh, Rob will be here.
Damn.
Early. He'll be at the door waiting for you.
He'll be like a dog wagging its tail.
Get a text at 4:30. You hear yet? You hear yet?
Why do you think I like going to Cultivate so much? It's right there in Ipsy. I don't have to go all the way to Grand Rapids to get.
Well, I'm gonna be in Kentwood anyways.
Oh shit, you're right there, then.
I know. That's why I'm just like, I could stop on by, grab a quick growler, and head back.
And then watch it get killed on this show.
Making it home. It does every time. We have some here easily.
I was going to say a lot. There are some beers that get a lot of those malt forward type beers. They always get killed here. Whereas those heavy IPAs,
never
barrel age, like those do not.
Oh no,
get
we
killed
take our time
our
on those.
Which, except for barrel age.
Well, I mean, I think the only barrel age that didn't really survive was like that Tri-City Dragon Slayer.
No, we killed those.
Well, yeah, we killed those.
The Black Butte, the last 2 weeks, didn't get finished. The two Howlers.
Oh, yeah. No, that's true.
You know what? But to give me justice, I didn't know it was only 5.2. I would have killed both of those.
Oh, the anniversary editions.
Oh, those are different.
Those are different.
Oh, I didn't know. I'm like, oh, these are only 5%. Why didn't I drink
more? That's just the standard.
Never mind then.
Those were the barrel aged,
I was like, why didn't I drink more of that? It's only 5%. Like,
oh, no, it would have hit you hard.
Home. Yeah, never mind.
Yeah, though.
I did good then.
Yeah, it's a good thing that you probably didn't then. Yeah, I was drinking the 1884 all last week, and that was good. And what's great is that Atwater tapped out 1884, which was that beer, and they replaced it with another brown. So when I showed up a few days ago for work, I'm like,
oh, hey.
No, now I have to buy another one. So sadly,
what a terrible business plan. Yeah. They make such good beer that you have to buy one.
Damn!
Right.
Why hasn't anybody figured this out yet?
I'm gonna say I got to get some more of that. That Dragon Slayer though.
Dragon Slayer was if that
to think about it.
Dragon Slayer? I think was a regular.
Was the
one.
Normal one?
I think the barrel aged one from Tri City was something else.
It was something Slayer.
It was the barrel aged Tri City.
I look it up because I saw a post from Steve's and Hamtramck that they got some in.
Yeah, there were two different. I think the Dragon Slayer was the normal.
Dragon
Slayer,
I think, is the normal,
was
which I have
kind of good.
I have at home, I should say.
You set it on the side of the yeast. He apparently barrel aged or bottle. Age or bottle condition, sorry.
Bottle condition.
He does because the yeast builds up on the side if you set the damn bottle on its side.
It was so funny. We were talking. Well, speaking of fermentation and experimenting, obviously one of the crazy things and one of the harder things that you have to think about is in regards to bottling, because you know conditioning and getting that have like live yeast fermentation and stuff. It's always dangerous because obviously explosions. I had a triple Unity or triple Goddess from Unity Vibration literally just explode right in my hands. I think that was the show that me, you
and Aaron.
Yeah. I think it was the three of us. And like, I'm sitting here and I'm like, crap, there goes half my beer on the floor.
Yep.
The other half's in there and it wasn't that good at all. But, are you guys planning on trying to bottle anytime soon or?
Bottling's coming soon. That probably comes even before the food does.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's very at the top of the list of investments to make. So we had the same experience with bottling. So that dynamic entry I told you about that was originally bottled, and we had had that in storage for a year, and we opened it up this summer, and it was the same thing. Like, it was delicious, but we only got half the bottle in some cases. So
it should be dynamic exit then.
Yeah. Both, yeah.
But I don't have a rim shot on here ready to go.
You took away all the bells.
I did take away all the bells because you hit them all.
That one would have been necessary. It would have been warranted.
Yeah,
so are there any experimentations that you've actually liked that you didn't anticipate them going that route, but they actually turned out really well?
We made a lemon coriander wheat that was about 8.4%, and that we let sit forever, like a year, and it naturally soured, and it was amazing. And we put it out. We gave people the opportunity to taste it in 4-ounce pours, and it, I mean, people were buying like 3-4 at a time and then coming back. We had people buying 15 in a sitting. So it was really popular. So we are recreating that one. So that was not an accident. The lemon coriander was what it was supposed to be. But in the course of our move from Rochester to Pontiac, it ended up just sitting for a really long time. So that was a really good one. The Trace Winey, upon initial taste, was kind of, it was okay. And then we put it back on the shelf and let it sit for a little while. And 3 months later, it was amazing. So there's a couple of those that we did on the higher gravity side where the double grippa, the double clown apocalypse that we did, they're all, after aging, were much better than we anticipated.
Clown apocalypse?
Clown apocalypse, yeah, the coconut cream ale. It's the beer that saved you from the zombie clown apocalypse, just so you know.
Just so you know. Yeah, I mean, you guys don't
kinda
remember.
You kind of all owe your lives to it.
Because zombies don't like coconut?
Because they're, you know, their biggest weakness is getting hit in the face with the coconut cream pie. And you know,
I figured it was like cold weather, but no. I just assumed.
Zombies don't
that
like.
That just preserves them. That's, yeah.
Well, I'm trying to think of, isn't there a series that you can see on Netflix that's like Nazi zombies versus
Nazi zombies? Something
like that, just Call of Duty?
That's definitely a lot of Call of Duty
stuff.
Isn't
that the current presidential election?
No.
As we continue.
Meanwhile.
back at the farm.
What did we just pour here now?
I just opened up the Kakahayaka Onu, which is the Kona Coffee Stout. So that is a beer that we make with 4 pounds of Kona coffee from a small plantation in Hawaii that in each 80 gallons of beer. So really coffee forward. Like I said, it's kind of like a alcoholic iced cold coffee, except for it's 7.2%.
So do I need like sweet and low and creamer?
It should be sweet enough for you. Yeah,
I'm impressed you're using American coffee.
Not a lot of options.
I don't like Kona in any way, but I'm still going to drink this. And America is one coffee is like shit tier when it comes to
America.
Dunkin' Donuts.
I don't think he was talking about Dunkin' Donuts.
No, no. I'm just talking America coffee.
Obviously, he's referring to Timmy Hortons.
Well, it's really tough.
Timmy Ho-Ho's.
America.
That's American, right?
Oh, this is actually very good. This is really good. That's. I mean, I don't like coffee and beer.
I was going to say, I was surprised you had it because that was a topic of discussion.
It's right here. Well,
that's some strong coffee.
Yeah, I mean, don't threaten me with a good time.
It really does. I see what you're talking about. It does taste like an iced coffee, which is actually very good. Hides the 7%
There's 7% of alcohol in here?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's not good.
That's a matter of opinion.
What are the? Well, no. The beer is good. The fact that the alcohol is
still a matter of opinion.
Can I just wake up and drink this and just tell my boss I haven't been drinking coffee?
Sure,
it's coffee.
It's just something I can put.
I've just got some coffee in my.
Just throw a few ice cubes in there. Go to like Tim Hortons and be like, "Can I just have a glass?
Have a cup?" Order a coffee. Dump the coffee out immediately while you're still doing it, and pour that in. Be like, "I'm good."
They're only like $1 for a coffee. So
you just pour the cup out, walk into this, like, what up?
See, for me, exactly. I'd be the one that I'd want it like a double gulp from 7-Eleven.
Does this come in 40s by chance?
You got to hide it, Ken. You can't be like, oh, I got my extreme big gulp cup.
Right.
Yeah, what's my up? Extreme? What's up?
Yeah, they're like, well, isn't your heart going to explode? You just drink extreme big gulp.
Just drink it like 20 minutes. Like, I need some more.
Back when I was a kid, I used to slam like 2 double gulps of Dr. Pepper a day.
Oof. Holy crap.
Oh, man.
Hold a double gulp. We had to get the clip to put on top to close it. Or am I going even further?
A little bit further. This is just the big fat glass that was 64 ounces.
It used to be like milk cartons back.
You had to put the clip on the top.
Oh my gosh.
No, this had to have been after that. So this would have been like late 90s, mid 90s, I think would be a fair.
Yeah, I'm talking a little further back. That's funny.
The 70s? Back when they were open 7 days a week for 11 hours a day?
No. Yeah.
Remember, that's how they got their name, if you didn't know.
I was there. Yeah, sorry, I was there.
You were there. Right. Slightly.
Slightly. Oh my gosh. I'll have to show you during break, but Rob posted a photo of his swim team.
Oh.
And literally the joke that everyone was saying is, which one are you?
Was there one black guy?
There was one black guy.
I didn't want to make that leap. I mean, that's my level of censorship. Oh, believe me.
All year, every time I was on my way to the blocks, one of my good friends, another Rob, he would basically just come up and say, give me this little pep talk. He'd say, pep talk. And he'd be like, all right, look, just remember, you are the best black swimmer here. And then I would look at him and say, Rob, I'm the only black swimmer here. He's like, that's what makes you so damn good.
Is this where we insert swimming joke?
No, it is not. That is where we carry on.
I don't know
on.
Any swimming jokes.
This is actually.
I want to hear
No,
these,
he's
actually.
Probably going to mention Ryan Lochte.
No, is that where we're going? Is that what this is ending
following
up
following the stereotype.
We're high
stereotype.
Schoolers. We had no business messing around in some gas station getting robbed by whatever dudes are there. Allegedly.
We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back with the Better on Draft podcast. And we are back with the Better on Draft podcast, episode 49.
I couldn't find an athlete that was noteworthy for the number 49, so I put shame
upon
my
49,
family.
That's a good...
The San Francisco 49ers?
The San Francisco episode seems
Steve
a little
Mariucci.
Bit...
The Mooch.
Sean Hill. Last time they were in the. Oh no, never mind. That they have been
Sean
there.
Hill.
Sean Hill did take them to the playoffs.
He did.
Let's be some real.
He did. Sean Hill.
And then he came here. Hill. He came to Detroit. Took over.
So
the
should
team
we all just
years?
Kneel and call it the Colin Kaepernick episode?
Oh
Lord. No, we're staying away from that kind of topic. We're not going there.
Staying away from that kind of topic. So speaking of professional athletes, no.
Yeah, well, no. Hold on. Did you ever guys ever notice, this isn't political, but the more he complains, the bigger his fro gets.
Yes, we do.
Like, I might have brought this up last week, but as it goes on, his fro gets bigger and bigger. So like, the more he talks about this, the bigger his hair goes.
You're calling him a political Pinocchio.
Kind of funny. It really is.
That
like,
would imply
why
that he's
happening?
Lying every time that he's...
I mean, so, not necessarily. I mean, it's just that the
would,
more
would it be
political...
Fronocchio?
So, no. So I'm expecting if the Seahawks do what they're talking about, Russell Wilson's hair will at least be out to here next week. It's going to happen.
Yeah, like, I don't know if Sierra's going to like that.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going. I had to bring that because it's funny.
So speaking of athletes, we got Rob over here.
Oh, hey.
Yeah. Swimmer.
Pro swimmer. Him and Ryan Lochte.
I had a very, very weird day yesterday as it was because my soon-to-be stepdaughter, she is swimming, and it was probably one of the first times I was ever sitting in the stands, and I'm just sitting there just, you know, trying to tell her to do certain things. And
you're coaching
It was like I was coaching, and then all of a sudden, like, it's got this weird-ass coaching bug yesterday, and it's like, I have no time to do that.
So how often you're turning into a
little league dad.
I'm a swimmer dad now.
How often in the stands does the names of Michael Phelps or Ryan Lochte get brought up? I'm really curious about it.
Where I was sitting, I didn't hear it get brought up at all.
Like, blah, blah,
there
Michael
was
Phelps.
Simone. what was the Simone?
No, that was the gymnast.
Yeah, that was the
gymnast. No, they were both Simone.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They were both Simone. I can't remember her last name, but yeah. Yeah, none of the Olympics got brought up at all.
I fully expect that with all the parents. Like,
I know.
Blah, 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 Michael Phelps, blah, blah, blah. That's just what I picture.
Is that instead of saying stop lying, Sandra, you're going to be like, stop Lochteing, Sandra.
Stop Lochteing. God, that guy, I'll tell you. Beat the crap out of that guy if I had a chance.
He'd probably have a different story to tell.
He deserves it. I'm sorry.
So Rob, like... you wanted to introduce something to this this show, so I'm going to pass it over to you. The ball is in your court.
Oh, yay. You know, I'm pretty bad at basketball, so I'm just going to
pass
that
it right
back
off.
No.
That is the conundrum. He can't play basketball.
We totally
let's not visit stereotypes now. Stay away from that. So basically just kind of want to go through a little bit of the news, or basically kind of the news that what I've kind of gathered up here. Pretty much just want to go around the room, just see whether or not this is a big deal to you, little deal, or a no deal at all.
Is this let's make a deal? Are you Wayne Brady?
If I have to choke a bitch, maybe.
Give me your sandwich, Dave. Dave, give me your sandwich. Give me your sandwich, Dave.
Hey, Rob.
Give me your sandwich,
I didn't know you liked to get wet. Because you're a swimmer. Because he's a swimmer.
I'm a swimmer. Oh, that's awful.
So let's go with the first article.
So first thing that I kind of came across, I noticed some info come across with Dos Equis, and they are bringing back their most interesting man in the world. So they just released a new kind of feature film style video introducing this actor, Augustine Legrand, as the new face of the most interesting man, and it's supposed to be running these commercials in October. So, of course, much like the old interesting man in the world, neither one are Mexican at all. And in fact, this guy is French.
Is Dos Equis Mexican?
Yes.
Is that, I didn't know.
It's Aztec-y. Yeah.
It's as.
I don't know if that's technically the proper, but it's supposed to be based off the Aztecs.
Okay.
I think it was referring to the business owned by a Mexican company or not.
I believe it is Latin, but or originated.
It could have been Spanish. I have no idea what it was.
Whether it's owned by
some type of Mexican original company, but
from south of U.S.
Grupo, I think it's Grupo Modelo that owns. No, is that Corona?
Corona and Modelo and Pacifico are together.
Got it.
Yeah. Well, I guess anyway, this just kind of big deal, little deal, or no deal. What do you think about the most interesting man coming back? Do you think this is going to just, you know, continue or I guess broaden their sales?
I think it's a mistake. I think when they did the 184th most interesting man alive little commercials, and they had the one guy that was it was funny, but. In the end, there comes a point in time where you have to cut a marketing style and a marketing promotion. Like when Old Spice got rid of Isaiah
Mustafa.
Yeah.
Real man of genius.
And you had Terry Crews.
Yeah.
Well, you had Isaiah first, and then it was Terry. And then now it's kind of been both.
Yeah, but the thing is that Terry wasn't trying to be Isaiah. Terry was his own person. So I think it's big news in the sense to where I think it's a big mistake for them. Because I don't think a lot of people want to try it. You know, they're just changing the most interesting man, and they're trying to basically rebuild or, you know, strike while it's hot. Not strike while it's hot. They're trying to strike gold twice in the same spot, and there's no gold there. But what about you guys?
I think it's no issue. A lot of brands have been around a long time. There is going to be turnover with characters. You can't judge it till you see it.
I'm going to go kind of deal. I'm going to kind of go in the middle here. I think they're coming out with cans now in Dos Equis. I think that's kind of been one of their new campaigns because I think to this point they've just been bottles. So I think they're kind of shifting, and it looks like they're shifting to a younger demographic with a younger guy. So maybe this whole can youth movement is something that they're going to do. I know Corona's had a lot of success with their can, and you watch their commercials, it's always young people at the beach. So, you know, they're just probably trying to jump on what people over at Crown are doing.
You really think they're trying to go with a stereotype like that, though? Like Corona and the beach, that's always been a thing. You think Dos Equis is trying to move that way?
I mean,
it's kind of weird.
I would think that when you advertise and your main character is a 70-year-old guy, and then you try to bring it down to a 20-year-old looking guy, I think it may be trying to shift the demographic you're going after.
But keep in mind, the most interesting man were like flashbacks. It wasn't him doing that right now. They were flashbacks of what he was doing. So,
but it was always
really a change.
I don't know.
But at the end of the commercial, it was always this old guy.
Yeah, but it wasn't the old guy doing things. It was a flashback of another guy doing
it
those
was,
things.
I guess
so
still for
I don't
mean,
see
from,
the difference
from what Matt is talking about with that younger demographic of being in like say the 20s and 30s. Even the flashbacks. Got this dude with a full beard looking like he's still in his 40s.
Plus, they're like 70s camera reel style, so they feel like they're 50 years old of the vintage, you know, of the camera. So I think it has potential to be a big deal or just a complete flop, but I'm going to say little deal. Looks like they're just shifting where their marketing is going and how they're proceeding. So, I mean, I think the millennial generation is like the biggest generation since the baby boomers, so if they can grab some more share with a new campaign, why not?
I get the answer too.
Yeah, sure, definitely.
I think it's a little deal in the way that Ben Affleck has Batman versus Christian Bale as Batman. Like, you had a great thing going, and it really, really worked well. And you finished the trilogy, and you finished the most interesting man in the world. Cut it off. Go do something different. It kind of smacks of lack of creativity.
Yeah.
No offense. True.
Well, I mean, the best Batman's still Clooney, so
it's because of the nipples. It's the nipples, Greg. Can
the
you
nipples.
Milk me?
Wow. Nipples. All right,
I got nipples, Walker. Can you milk me?
best Batman is Clooney.
Oh my God!
We're gonna have to have a conversation later. I'm a big Batman fan.
Oh goodness! All right, number two. So Perrin announced their production growth a couple weeks ago. Basically said that their volumes have increased by about 92% over the last year, and produced over 14,000 barrels. Currently being distributed, I guess because of the deal that they made with Oscar Blues Holding Company, that they are distributing not only obviously here in Michigan, but they are distributing in Colorado, Indiana, and Ohio.
North Carolina?
North Carolina.
I guess they're in North Carolina too. So it is projected at the end of the year, by the end of this year, that Perrin is going to be essentially the fourth largest brewer in Michigan.
The other three are?
I'm guessing the at least two would be Founders and Bell's. I'm
Shorts.
Thinking
Shorts or Griffinclaw.
Yeah, one of the
New
other.
New Holland.
That's what I was thinking. New Holland was the other one. So I guess kind of big deal, little deal, or no deal.
In Holland, with the Dutch.
So I was kind of thinking big deal, little deal, or no deal for the other three. I mean, you're talking about a brewery that's only been here since 2012. And we're talking about them being number four already.
It's a huge deal.
We'll go the other way around. We'll start with our guest first. And
don't want to comment on other people's business too much, but to me, it's a little deal. It's just a choice that you choose to try to expand or not. And if I'm Founders right now, I'm feeling pretty comfortable with where I'm at. And are you in a race to the top, or are you in a race to make the best beer? So if other people want to expand and try to get to other states, I think it's great for the state of Michigan to get even more presence in other states and getting some beer out there. But if I'm somebody like Founders or Bell's, I'm not terribly concerned because I'm doing a pretty good job already.
Yeah. I'm going to go big deal, but not for Perrin, but kind of piggyback off that is for the state of Michigan. You know,
you just stole exactly what I was going to say.
So I don't know if either of you guys know this, but I was in Florida this week. And I went to this bar called the Yard House. If you're ever in West Palm Beach, they say they're the world's largest beer hall. It's not, but they have like 100 beers on tap.
Yard House is a chain, if you didn't know.
I did not know. Well, it's good beer, right? And their food is amazing.
It's a good one on the Link in Vegas.
But let me finish my thought. I was sitting there, and people would ask these servers what's good, and they would explain what they like. And the three things that were constantly being suggested or were being offered were Bald A and Two Hearted, and they even had Oberon on the continual menu. So having those three beers represented on such a big place and being suggested, you know, 2,000 miles away from where they're made, I think that's a big deal. And if you can continue to sack handles at national chains with another Michigan brand, I think that only lends credibility to the beers above it and the beers that are going to be following.
Yeah, I agree, because like I said, I was going the same route. For Michigan, it's great. That is a huge deal, because if you're in Florida with Michigan beers, who can't bitch about that? That cuts into Oregon, that cuts into Vermont, all the other places people think first before Michigan. But if you're a company here, who cares what the other ones are doing? That's good for everyone. That's good for you. If Michigan's getting more attention, you're getting that attention too. You're not going to be like, oh, we have to undermine whatever they're doing. No one's going to do that. That's just bottom line. It's good for the state. But if you're like Founders, who cares? You're going to keep doing what you're doing. And now you have more exposure because they're like, oh, here's another Michigan beer and another one. So people are like, oh, these guys are pretty good.
Yeah.
Perrin's not craft beer, so no comment.
No. Really? Really?
Well, yes, really. They're not considered craft beer
anymore. There's that barrel amount right
Get
there.
Get out your craft that, check. What are we doing?
Well, no, it's not barrel amount. It's because they have an investment from Oscar Blues.
Oh yeah,
they haven't reached the barrel amount of 6 million barrels.
Right, it's 6 million.
But Oscar Blues. So do we not consider Oscar Blues a craft brand then?
It's you cannot be invested by another alcohol company, not another craft company, another alcohol company. I don't care. I just make it because it's funny. To me, it is hysterical because I can make people upset. and
well, you have made me upset
by telling the truth.
Well, it's kind of the no rules.
Yeah, and it's
I mean,
it's,
no, who's going to wait in line at 1 p.m. to get that beer?
I don't know. They're already talking about, although it's not Perrin, it's Dark Horse. They're talking about the Four Elf party next month over in.
I saw the conversation about that already.
Yeah, I'm like, Jesus Christ already.
Goodness.
Here we are. Right. But no, in regards to it, I'm going to agree. It's for the other three, it's not a big deal. Well, it is a big deal for them because I think it's going to show a lot of exposure. When you have the beers that, you know, let's talk of the big two, Founders and we forgot the other.
Bells.
I know the Bells, but I was talking about the other major one, Atwater, because Atwater is going to be Atwater's up there in distribution. So in regards to that, you have all of these, you know, these breweries are going, they have their standards. And you talk about Two Hearted, you talk about All Day. Those are solid IPAs across the board. And when you're talking about out-of-state beers, you always talk, but especially the IPAs, you're talking about All Day as well as Two Hearted. Mm-hmm. As much as I don't like either or, I like Centennial more than I like All Day. But in regards to those beers, those are two really good eye-opening Michigan beers that a lot of people will be like, oh, Michigan Greats makes good beers. Let's try something else.
Right.
And I think it's going to do a lot for them. And I think Perrin does a very good job with their Big Grizz, with their No Rules, you know, those heavy
good
beers
one.
That they
good
have.
One. Right.
So I think Perrin's going to do just fine, and I don't think it's going to hurt anyone in the market around here.
Yeah. No, it won't, but the exposure is great, like I mentioned.
Yeah. All right, so third one, Leah Ashburn, president of Highland Brewing in North Carolina.
Oh, totally. Got it.
I totally thought Highland, Michigan. I'm like, oh. I'm like, where are we going with this?
So she was involved in a Brew Talks discussion and stated that one of the big challenges in the brewing industry is that with so many brewers that are trying to establish themselves out there, it's become tougher to find qualified staff because everyone and all the breweries out there are looking. And with the number of breweries that are still increasing that are out there and out here in Michigan, she has stated that one of the biggest things that's helped her in finding qualified staff is the fact that schools are started these brewing programs. So really big deal, little deal, or no deal that schools, obviously we're having school craft on here at some point.
By 2 weeks.
I mean, big deal, no little deal or no deal that schools are really starting to really kick these brewing programs off.
So I'll start this off. So we're going to have Schoolcraft College here, who is going to be one of the major players in regards to a local college doing brewing. And I believe they're doing a distilling type of degree, and it's part of their culinary arts degree. It's a separation of their culinary arts degree, but it's part of their culinary arts program. In regards to the looking for educated people and all of that, there are enough especially because there is it's not like cooking where there's a lot of I'm trying to think of the best way to put it. The schools are going to teach them how to do the basics, and it's going to be up to them to learn how to do whatever else.
That's everything though.
Well,
college-wise.
I agree, but we're talking about there are programs. Like, I find it hard to believe that you can't find enough educated people to work in a brewery or to work as a beer back. Because there are educational programs out there that are dirt cheap that you can get someone in, and they just don't want to bite the bullet because, of course, with restaurants, with breweries, mm-hmm. the turnover is huge and the investment is huge as well. But with, you know, the certified beer server, Beer Savvy, that program is dirt cheap and easy to get someone to go through. And even the regular Cicerone program is pretty easy to get someone to go through if you're looking for, again, a head server or anything like that, looking at it in the restaurant point of view. So with schools teaching it, I think it's going to be more expensive and more like if you're going into it for school, you're going into it for business as opposed to going into it to work at a brewer, because no matter what brewer you go to, whether, you know, if I go to Experimentation, you know, they're going to want me to brew within their guidelines, their standards. They're not going to want me to come over here and try to do your standard triple IPA because, you know, that's their business plan. Their business plan is to do shit that you've never had before to give you a reason to come to Experimentation, which is a reason why I would go to Experimentation, because why the hell would I go to a fucking brewery to try their 10 goddamn IPAs?
God, don't get me started.
When
I've heard this several times.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, though, is that I don't need to go to, like, I went to Atwater, and the Atwater in Detroit, and their entire beer list is so diverse, and so they have their standards, the ones that they bottle, but the different beers that they have is so ridiculous.
How many IPAs did they have on tap?
Out of their 20 some odd taps, 2 or 3.
Oh wow, I'm impressed.
And I mean, you're talking like an IPA and maybe a fruit IPA.
We're not talking the double crooked tree blueberry,
coffee, double crooked tree raspberry.
Light. Yeah.
No, we're not. So in regards to it, you know, you can learn the educational process of how to brew beer from, you know, either you can work at a brewery and learn from the bottom up, or you can go to school. But in the end, you know, in regards to, I think a school like Schoolcraft is teaching you how to run a business, whereas if you're looking for employees to work at your bar, at your brewery, you're better off going and, you know, investing in, you know, certified beer server. Yeah.
That's the situation with any type of degree, though. Keep that in mind. I think it is a pretty big deal. I mean, they're keeping up with the times. How many breweries do we have now? More than pre-prohibition.
250-something?
Well, he's referring to full country. I don't know.
Yeah, country. I'm not just talking Michigan.
I don't think Michigan's back up to where it was before, just because there were so many in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Nationwide, we're back up to that. So these schools are keeping up with what's going on in the nation. That's a great thing to know. It's another option to go into that. Look, if you get like
I agree, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but the market is there. Degrees, for those businesses, and for those plans. But I think based on who we were discussing in regards to from Highland, North Carolina, versus what the degrees and stuff, I still think the Cicerone program is better for the employees than the actual school.
It might be, but also I like to look at this like the IT field.
Yep.
That's
what I was going to think.
The IT field will teach you all the basics no matter what you do, but no school is going to teach you what that company needs to know. You have to do your own things outside of that. Same with this type of brewing beer industry. You know, you've homebrewed. It's there's no set pattern of what you're going to do. There's the basics, but your coffee stout here, is it a stout or is it a porter? It's a stout. It's going to be different because each one does a different. You have to know the basics and then can build on that. No school or anything is going to teach you what you need to know to do it, but it's a good foundation to have. And if I was hiring for it, and this is just me, I would look at someone who went through that versus someone who's just screwing around and doing that because, all right, they have the basics. And that's same with the IT field. All right, you know the basics and you know enough to get through what I'm asking you in an interview and knowing how to do this that you can build from that, know what we're going to do now. So it works out. It's a good thing. It's a very big deal.
I'm going to say it's kind of like me and it's kind of a big deal.
Oh, wow.
You're not the next big thing. You're kind of a big deal.
You're
just big in Japan.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
I'm gonna kind of throw it back to the IT field, but kind of different. This kind of seems like IT in the early 90s where small schools would pick it up as something that you might want to know or a new vocation, and it's lending credence to brewing becoming a social norm as a job. You know, being a brewer is something you can do as a job now. Like 30 years ago, people wouldn't have thought you can sit on a computer and have like internet safety and all that stuff as a career. So I think this is a step in the direction of making this one of those things that gets recognized. Like I saw on the news, and I don't know if this is going to take off, but Michigan's trying to sign a law to be one of the first states to allow driverless cars, to be ahead of the curve with, you know, Ford and the big three.
So they shut out Tesla, but they want to be
driverless. So I guess what I'm trying to say is
that's a different conversation. And I would love to have that conversation with you off air.
No, I know. It won't work.
I think you and I would have a go-mo.
But
continue.
My thought is, just like we were talking, Michigan's a good beer state. So now we're investing our resources in the youth to continue to bring Michigan beer credibility up. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure if it's at Schoolcraft now in a few years, it might go to one of the directional schools.
Central Michigan's got one right now.
Yeah, program. Central's got
and
one.
Then, you I know, think maybe, Ferris might have one, too.
Yeah,
and Ferris, then learn how to brew Busch Light up there. But it'll eventually get to a point where it's a big thing, you know. I'm sure, like, Harvard and MIT have something like that just at, like, the chemistry level. But I think it just kind of leads to, all right, owning a brew hall or a brewery isn't just something that slackers do. This is a legit career
that
people are doing and making a career out of.
It's
so
a lot of work.
Let's train people how to do it because there's obviously interest down the road. So that's where I think it comes
right.
from.
Yep.
Are you calling our guest a slacker?
Not at all.
Years ago, he made it be considered a slacker, but now he's turned something into a business, and that's why you go to school. You have an appreciation for something. You go to school, you learn it. And
well, you just said you hired people to work. So what was your mentality in regards to hiring people?
So to be honest, we did have one person who went through the Schoolcraft program, but that I hired her because I actually worked with her already. So that was more of a personal relationship, and I knew that she was a quality person. What I personally value is going to be the ability to pick up on things. So you can kind of derive that from the fact that somebody went to school. But on the other hand, what's more important to us as a small company is what's your creativity level and what special skills can you bring to the table? And that's not necessarily encompassed in a degree. So while I think it's good, to me, I would give it it's a little deal. Like, it's nice to have more people that have some background in the industry and they know, like, what the tap cleaning procedures are and, you know, how the brewing works. But we could teach that. To me, the more valuable asset is, one, can you communicate with people very well? And then, two, what's your creativity level? Because we're going to survive, in my opinion, on our ability to continuously create and come up with something new. And I think that's true of IT as well. Like, can you program? Sure. But can you program something that's really unique that people haven't come up with yet? And that's the thing that takes off. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of apps out there. It's the creative ones that win.
Yeah. Definitely. No, that's a good explanation. That's I like that.
Nice. So, kids, listen, beer is like IT.
They're both good options at this
point.
Well,
I guess my concern is, can you be under 21 and enroll in that class?
Why couldn't you?
Why not?
Can you
serve beer under 21.
I guess right. If you're experimenting with beer, but I mean, you can't taste it.
We're talking Schoolcraft. That's you'd be under 21.
Well, I remember at Central there was a beer and wine tasting class, but you had to be 21 to enroll in that class. So
you can buy all the ingredients and brew, and you can be any age.
I think there's definitely a little bit more because, and I'm going to harken it back to the laws in regards to how Michigan laws occur. For brewers. So brewers themselves, they can bring in alcohol themselves to drink, to test, to do all these things, whereas it's illegal for any customer, any other employee. So I think at that point, because you're not drinking to get drunk, you're not drinking, you're literally drinking for
market research.
Right.
What great R&D.
Yeah.
I know. Wouldn't you love to be in that? Like, I'm just a beer tester.
Nice.
That would be a great resume. I am a beer researcher.
Yeah.
I'm a
beer ranger.
A job.
I'm a beer ranger.
A lot of major breweries, you're talking Anheuser-Busch, Boston Beer Co., Miller, like they pay people to travel the country,
just
to travel the world.
Biggest drunks.
Why isn't it working?
What's that?
Why isn't it working?
What, for Budweiser? Yeah. I mean, they just sponsor Bar Rescue and have them talk about Beechwood for an hour. I'm going to mention
you can really taste the Beechwood in here.
All right, let's
hammer out one more quick article.
Yeah, I'm going to skip the fourth one. So I'm going to go to the last one, just a really stupid one. So this story came out of New York where a man was pretty much caught on camera stealing two cases of America.
No, what?
Yes.
Yes, on camera. So
is this the superhero
this
one?
So, yes, camera. The problem was that they really couldn't identify him because he was wearing a Batman costume suit, but he went completely like crossing over and he was wearing a Captain America mask. Now, police apparently have identified who this was, but
the store is not pressing charges. So you found a special member of the community, and he stole some beer. I don't mean to go there, but this is probably what happened.
Big deal, little deal, or no deal on them letting this guy go.
So we're gonna kind of skip that because we're only about $1.20.
No deal.
No deal.
No bueno.
So there was actually a story to tie into that. So there was a theft in Canada where a guy dressed up in full goalie gear and stole beer from a beer store.
Was it Goldberg?
It was not Goldberg.
Was
no.
It Gold? No, a goalie, not Goldberg.
No,
Goldberg like was the goalie
Ducks.
For the Mighty Ducks.
Oh, I'm thinking, oh, here goes Bill That's Goldberg. Right. Here, have some what? Beer.
So, side question. If Bill Goldberg walks into your party store and just takes a case off the shelf, are you going to stop
I'd be
him?
Like, oh, I'd be like, oh, man, it's I'm Bill like, Goldberg. I'm have like, a case of beer.
That's his beer.
You can take it. I'm not next. Now. I'm not next. You can take it.
All I got to do is wrestle him for 5 minutes, and then he'll be gassed.
If it's America.
I'm going to be his Chris Jericho. If I'm Chris Jericho, I just punch him in the face.
And call him Greenberg.
Greenberg.
Nice. Oh, Jesus. So, yeah, so definitely two interesting theft stories of beer, to say the least. One very Canadian and one very American, I would say. So we're going to take a quick break before we come back with five questions with Matt Bush.
Bam.
We'll be right back with a Better On Draft podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Hooray for beer!
And we are back with a Better On Draft podcast, segment three.
Uh-oh. You know what that
Number
means.
Number three.
Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome.
I like it better when you do your more like, hello.
Hi. We're here with Better On Draft with segment number three.
Segment number three with number a Better On three. Draft podcast. My name is Ken. And he's going to be here talk. For the next 30 minutes.
Oh, boy.
As I get some music ready for one Matt Bush, as he's going to go. This is actually getting
this like hello I'm talk. Are we? Is that what we changed? Is it going to just leave right now?
I think there's a show on this network called like Reasons Why I'm Single, and there's one right there.
There's one right here. Like, am I only
it's
here for
quiet
two segments
for
from
drunks.
Now on?
There it is.
Hey, that's a commercial Ooh. Right there, nope. too.
What was that?
That was actually kind of enjoyable.
Is this can like that just... person we were talking about online earlier? And...
Here we go. I can rock to this.
Oh, there we go. Nicely done.
All right, so the way we play it is I'm going to ask five questions. You as a team can give the answer. Question number three is always name that beer. So you have two guesses and one question. So you can sip now or sip throughout, because as you see on Facebook Live, I've reported. And we'll go from there. So question number one, I was in Florida this week, if anybody heard.
Geography.
We always
I love how he says that sentence every single day. That's like the fourth time. Right. I don't know if you guys know, but I was in Florida.
I was in Florida.
All right, Florida. So quick speed round, 30 seconds on the clock. And I'm actually going to give you one out of three. But, I mean, really, there's no wrong answer here. So 30 seconds on the clock. I want three beers with a Florida-themed name. And I'm going to give you one, which would be Short's Key Lime.
Oh.
So 30 seconds.
That'd be an easy one.
Two more that have two more beers. That
Land
have,
Shark.
Okay, there's two.
How is that a Florida?
Because it's the name of the Miami Dolphins and Miami Hurricane Stadium. They bought the rights to it. That's Florida enough.
All right, quick.
I had no idea.
Think of a beer that might have something to do with Florida. Or
think of...
Oh, geez.
I was going to say, is there anything with the penile key. Joke?
I know.
Or keys. Yeah, there you go.
I have no idea.
What's Florida known for their exports?
Does Cigar City even count?
Dying
football
people.
Players.
Florida is known for dying people.
The U?
Okay, so we'll just...
Zika virus?
Zika Stout.
Zika Stout. There you go.
Zika Stout.
I'm sure that's Cigar City's next one, so I'll count that in memoriam.
That's terrible.
All right, wow. So number two, the only football game that actually matters this weekend is played in Ann Arbor. And
really?
We are
Lions versus Indy is going in Ann Arbor?
So Ann Arbor actually...
Must be Ann Arbor Pioneer or something.
Florida?
So, Ann Arbor, they're actually bringing UCF to Ann Arbor.
UFC? So the UFC.
University
of Ann Arbor?
Central Florida.
Yes. What is the UCF mascot?
The Knights.
Ken. Oh.
We're going to need a little bit more than that, though.
The Scarlet Knights?
No, that's
Rutgers.
Rutgers.
That's Rutgers. I don't know. The Shark
UCF.
Knights.
I should actually know this for the fact that Miami's played UCF enough times.
They're like black and gold, so it's either the Black Knights or the Gold Knights, I would think.
All right, so you're halfway there.
It's got to be the Gold Knights.
Gold Black Knights?
Well, the Black Knights
are
Army.
The Goldish Black Knights?
So the Black Knights are Army, so let's try this again.
Let's do Gold Knights.
All right. One, two for two. All right. All right, so...
Name that beer, Tom.
Name that beer. So we've got
Huso
Look
Up. I don't know what this is.
I'm gonna make sure that I can get Robin on this.
Goodness, he wants to make sure.
Just so we know, we were given hints earlier that it's not any malt liquor, and it's not any FMBs. So this is definitely a yellow beer.
It at least smells better. So I mean, I can actually hold this up to
my nose. This is the first time I'm stumped on this game.
No offense, but better than what?
So it's definitely a yellow beer. So it's gonna be interesting because the rule is you're gonna see it on a single shelf. Okay. So it's not gonna be some off the wall. It's probably off the wall to us, but it's not some crazy off the wall type
24
of beer.
Ounce
like a 2.4, a 40.
Okay,
that style of that selection, that gotcha. That part of the the refrigerator.
So I get a lot of like bread and bubble gum in this, which goes well together.
I was gonna say it's not that bad. Like it was pretty smooth, very light. Good. It's not heavy, so I don't think it's anything like your Bud Miller Coors.
Yeah.
It's not a malt liquor.
Yeah, no. Huh.
I almost feel like this would fall in the range of like a Michelob Ultra bubblegum.
Remember we get a...
I was going to say, because I'd probably go buy some.
We
then.
Get a question.
Michelob
Bazooka. We do get a question, so we had to come up with a question for Matt. So we can either try to figure out, you know, the brand, like if it's, you know, Michelob Milwaukee. Like we have to ask the question to get, you know, a yes or no answer.
Okay.
So like last week, like our choice was really, it was either Steel Reserve... like their
punch.
Extra punch, or it was Four Loko. So we asked, you know, did this drink ever have caffeine in it at one point or another? All so right. that's how we were able to get the correct answer.
Okay.
So at this point, I mean, there's no real.
I can't think of what to even ask about this.
I have an idea, just because
I outlawed color of the can, which.
Yeah, we already
outlawed week one.
Right, yeah.
I wasn't here, so we can't ask.
Anymore.
Like, oh, there goes the music for some reason.
Loop.
There we go. There you go. I was like, this thing's an hour 40 long, so. I'm thinking in regards to the taste
beer,
and stuff.
Apparently.
I mean, it's,
Rob, what is
for
this?
Some
you
reason,
really
it's familiar. I don't know why.
It is, and I can't place it.
I know.
It.
I'm in the same place.
Something that I know you've drank before, maybe just not recently.
All right.
As in like 6 or 7 years ago. I mean, damn.
All right, all right, all right. So I have a ULTRALIGHT.
Ultra light? Who
No. So my question was, is there a 5-letter word in the name of the beer?
That's a fair one.
Yeah.
Because I think that gives us light, that gives us ultra, that gives us a lot of other.
Right.
You know,
so many lights though.
But. Yeah, but
yeah, no,
it'll take out Miller Lite because that's 4 letters.
It's a good question. Go for it. It's
okay.
Not Miller Lite.
So our question is going to be: in the name of the beer, is there a 5-letter word?
There is not.
There is not. Okay. So now we know that it's not any X Lite or any. Well, it could be Miller Lite, but it's
not
any. I don't think it is. And that's the thing, though, is I thought it was Bud Light Platinum.
Oh.
But it can't be Bud Light Platinum because it's L I G H T.
Is it Bud Light Platinum or is it Bud Platinum?
Oh, that's a good question.
How many questions do we get? Just
we only get one question.
I don't think it's Bud Light Platinum. I think it's Bud
Platinum. Yeah.
Two guesses.
Are you checking?
I'm checking to see if it's Bud Light or Bud Light Platinum.
When's the last time you guys drank Hams?
It's been a while.
I couldn't
it's
tell
been
you.
Vegas, it's downtown Vegas, 25 cents a glass.
It is, in fact, Bud Light really? Platinum.
Okay, so, yeah.
So it can't be, so it's
to,
not,
yeah.
It's not Vegas Ultra, Platinum. It's not
right.
Platinum. It's not anything Bush, B-U-S-C-H.
Right. I mean, he's dropping.
It's not Hams, that's H-A-M-M-S.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
But there goes that idea.
Gosh, so this is
definitely stumped on this.
Oh my gosh!
I have no idea.
It's not water.
It's not water.
So
there's bubblegum flavor
hold on,
in there.
So is it natural ice?
Because that's a 3-letter
is it
word.
Ice house. Oh, house would take it out.
House would take it out, so it can't be ice house.
Ice? Red dog.
Can't
red
be natural dog. Light, so it could be natural ice.
Red dog would be another one. Yeah, that wouldn't be 5 letters in there. Yeah. Ooh.
Well, we get one guess. Let's get one guess in.
It's not. All right. It's not. A malt liquor, we already
or two
right, we know that.
Not a malt liquor, and it's not a FMB. So, do you want to do natural ice?
Yeah, we might as well.
Natural ice.
That is incorrect.
Incorrect. All right, we're 0-1.
Wow.
Let's talk about it a little more. Yeah, this is definitely a little hard, but
what
I mean,
about
we
Keystone Ice.
Keystone. Oh God.
There's so many options.
There's so many ices. I know.
This should lights. Be like just broken down like a list of 10 from this point on. Goodness.
Well, yeah, when you get to these yellow beers, it's so hard to
right.
to distinguish, and we can't ask another question. That's what
right.
We really think it should be two questions, one guess.
Yeah, it would really be helpful to know if this was like a Midwest beer or not a Midwest beer. You can narrow that down, but
yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he bought a foreign beer the last time, but I don't think that this is too light to be a foreign beer.
Yeah.
Is
that
I don't know.
Natural ice? Maybe
hold on. I'm going to...
I'm at a complete...
Wait, hold on. Keystone Light has five letters.
Keystone, yeah. Cause
Yeah,
the only light beer is L-I-T-E, and that's Miller Lite.
And that's not Miller Lite in any way.
No.
All right. No. So it's not going to be Bud Light, Miller Lite. It's not Budweiser. It's too...
It's too
it's not Corona Extra, because that's E-X-T-R-A, so it's not Corona.
It's too light for that.
Bush
anyways.
Heineken?
No, it's there's not enough flavor to it on that.
Not Keystone. Mm. Oh.
Uh-oh.
If it's not natural ice, I think, well, we've got potential. So I'm looking at some beer. So Bud Ice?
Bud Ice they don't make anymore. Do they?
I mean, this is from 2014
this
in sales.
This isn't Bud Ice. I've had
so,
Bud Ice.
Miller High Life.
I want to say High Life tastes different.
Because it can't be MGD, because draft is five letters.
This, I don't think this is High Life.
Really, what other beers do we have to choose from?
I want to say High Life has more of a sharper taste to it.
I thought High Life had a more of a yellow
color. We are constructing this beer.
It seems more pale than High Life.
I agree. This doesn't taste like High Life. High Life is tough to drink.
No, I agree. I'm just
to say, sharp, I had that 40
it's
of it.
Got that sharp taste to it.
All right, I'm gonna call this one a draw.
Hold on. We get one more guess. Let's
just drop the guess. I'm stumped. I'm completely stumped.
I'm just gonna go Bud Ice.
I'm gonna call this one a draw because I didn't consider the word extra on the case.
Oh my god!
Come on.
So you messed with us there.
I didn't think of extra as part of the description. I just thought Corona.
So and we eliminated it, Corona.
Yeah, we literally said it can't be Corona because it's Corona Extra. So
I've never called it Corona Extra. I've always just called it Corona.
Draw.
Yeah, that's why I say it's a draw.
Draw.
But if you liked some, there's some more.
Yeah,
all right.
Good choice. That was a good one.
So the Lions do start this week.
Yep.
They also have a UCF connection, the Lions do. Back in 2008, they drafted somebody in the third round out of UCF.
Kevin Smith.
Oh, man.
I even had the clue Snoochie Boochies, yeah. So I'm glad we got it.
Nice.
That is right.
All right, and then lastly, I don't know if you guys know, but I was in Florida this week.
No. Really.
No, really?
True or false, there are more cows in Florida than there are party stores.
That's completely true.
More cows in Florida. Florida doesn't seem to be that big of a farming style.
Think central in the pan.
My thing is there's always so much advertising for California cows being happy cows, but California...
I just know the one cow that tells me to eat more chicken.
Oh, yeah, there's that one.
It's from Georgia.
That's in Georgia, yeah. Seems like
is that where the
Florida
peaches grow?
But
miserable.
I'm going to say true.
It is true.
Really?
Nice. Florida is one of the actually largest cattle-producing states in the country. Outside the Great Plains, they are, I believe, number one.
See, outside of Colorado?
Outside of the 16 states in the middle of the country?
Yeah, where they graze.
I mean, it's raining all the time. They got all the grass.
Well, it is Central Florida, and that's a real hotbed of...
Yeah.
Is that where you were this week? It's in Central Florida?
I was in West Palm Beach, if you didn't know. Yes. I was in West Palm Beach, Florida.
That is a very eccentric town.
Yeah, it was fun. So that is five questions. We did okay. Except for the extra. I never.
Except for the
I know
host
it's written
who
right
fucked
on the
up.
Can, like, prominently now. But I've never thought, hey, I'm going to go buy a Corona Extra. I always thought I'm going to go buy a Corona. So
it was fun, as always.
This is why we can't have nice things, Matt.
Actually, we have very nice things. We just can't have nice things because
actually, to be honest though, if we would have guessed, if it would have had five letters, we would have been screwed because there's so many.
Any light?
Like I thought we like scored the Guess Who jackpot when you said there was no five letters.
Does he have glasses? Does he look like a bitch?
Is it a woman? Yes. Ping, 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 ping.
Here's
ping,
our
ping.
Question. All right,
I got
we got
four
it.
People left.
Is he transgender?
I don't know. I haven't asked him lately. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, did I ruin that game for you?
That's the new Guess Who. Do you have a clue?
Is there a new Guess Who?
No. That's,
okay, sorry.
That's the slogan of Guess Who. It's the new Guess Who. Do you have a clue?
Okay, maybe
he
I
knows
not,
the theme song.
Maybe I've just been out of.
I was a kid of the 90s. Exactly. You were a kid of the 60s.
You mad?
No. Damn. The only thing I'm mad about is you have more hair than me.
I was
going
to say, I have my hair. What are you doing, 17 and bald?
Oh, Jesus. Still got me in the bar, didn't it?
Well, I guess I'll trade my hair and look 30 years older to go into the bar 2 years early.
I'm drinking Boombas of Coors Light with everyone.
I'll just stroll in the door.
What's going on? Hey, everyone else is having trouble. I'm just like, I'm 21. Yeah. Oh,
man. So let's talk a little bit more about X-Fermentation. What do you guys got coming up in the short term, the long term? What's kind of the next 3, 6, 12 months kind of hold for you guys?
Yeah, so we talked about the beers that are coming in the next month or so. We'll continue to roll out the 15 that we're totally comfortable with. We also have intent to have a constant rotation of prototype beers. So we brew on a 2.5 barrel system, and then we do a 2.5 gallon prototype system as well, where we'll just rock things through constantly. So
2.5 gallon?
2.5
gallon.
Wow. Yep. No, it's super small. Tiny, just so we can just keep kicking things out.
Any special recipes that are kind of percolating up there that you want
to? Yeah, I mean, we've got a few in there, and it's a lot to do with people who come in and talk to us. So, like, we've got a couple recipes. There's a beer called Lucky Brown, which is based off of a guy's band who happens to be, like, rehearsing across the street. There's one that's halfway there. Same thing. It's a band name. So we're going to cut the fermentation halfway with some rum.
Is it called Bon Jovi?
Yeah,
he said halfway there.
Oh, halfway there is the name of the band.
Are they
Bon Jovi cover band?
Living on a Prayer.
Right, yeah, exactly. Something like that. I've never heard them play, but, you know, they came in and talked to us. So a lot of it is just random conversations between the three of us. And then beyond that, it's when customers come in and they have something they have in mind or just talking to people at the bar. So.
So you guys are open to suggestions from the
I was going to say, this is where the Better on Draft Brown or whatever we decide to do comes
the BOD
play.
Brown.
Totally possible. Like, so last I've been on one other podcast and they challenged us by saying, I would like you to make a beer or something named after the Muppets that were the scientists. And it was like Beaker.
Beaker and something. Beaker.
All right. So we couldn't actually remember who the other guy's name. So it's going to be called Beaker and the Other Guy.
And it's Beaker and the Other Guy.
And the other guy was, his name was Bunsen Honeydew.
That's yes,
so
right.
It's going to be a Honeydew Peach.
And Bork.
No. Bork. It's, yep. Well,
no, that's Bork was his nephew. Bork was.
You're totally screwing this up. Yeah.
I thought
no, he's not
chef.
Referring to the Swedish chef, what he yeah, says. He's right. Referring to the nephew of Bunsen.
I don't know the nephew of Bunsen, man.
Beaker's nephew is named
Beaker. Sorry, Beaker.
Well, we didn't go into extended family in the discussion, so
you didn't hit the family room.
Right, it was Beaker and Bunsen. It was meat, so it became meat. So it's a peach, honeydew, and some sort of pepper, because Beaker always got blown up. So that'll be the meat that comes out of it. So if you guys got something, yeah, let's do it. That's what we're here for. We're all about trying to mess around.
Now we have to come up with what
I was
going to
say. Matt's got the name.
Right.
So all we have to do is.
You can just do that.
Matt,
give us a name. We'll come up with it.
You know, I'm stumped. So let's call it an I'm stumped and it'll be a root vegetable.
How about, because apparently.
No, gonna I was going to say somebody just made a pasty beer not too long ago that's going to be up at the UP
Festival
this weekend.
What beer?
Meat? Pasty.
Pasty.
Not nipple.
Different.
Not nipple.
Phrasing.
It's got whoops. Smells like cheap perfume and dollar bills.
Smells like a
fatherly like disappointment.
A can we wait? Can we make a beer called "Smells Like a Strip Club"? I mean, yeah. We have smells okay. Like a safety meeting.
Okay, smells like a strip club. Like a strip club. So it's got to be some type of like strawberry or cherry type beer.
Strawberry passion flower fruit. Beer passion aged fruit. In brass
passion fruit.
And you have to. It's got to be an amber. Because, you know, everyone's
oh,
an amber.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Going to be a passion fruit amber.
Can we call
is it
going to
be served in champagne glasses?
Wait, hold on. Ooh, hold on.
With a strawberry on
plastic some, ones.
Hold on.
Plastic.
I've got the name on the beer. You ready?
All right.
Next on the stage,
coming
amber.
Up no, coming up next.
There we go.
I'm good.
Goodness.
There we go.
I'm about to say, because I got friends that apparently have been looking for a peach mango beer. So,
oh, we're not going that. Come on.
Yeah, I know.
Really?
So back to reality.
Yeah, exactly.
We're having fun with double entendres about
so
strippers.
Someone opened a trillionaire over there. We haven't hit it yet.
It's
we
sitting should, right there. Crack.
Let me grab that real quick.
All right, so where exactly in Pontiac are you guys again?
Oh, we're right at Saginaw and Pike, so it's right at the heart of downtown Pontiac. For those of you who used to hang out there, you're looking at like there used to be JD's Piano Bar. It was right next door.
Yep.
We're in the old
Piano
Cafe.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
So if you head out and park right where you would have gone to Tiki Bob's and Space. And
there's
all that
one,
kind of stuff,
yeah,
right
one
there.
Giant parking lot these
yep.
days. Yep.
Yeah,
good
right
times.
Is there
yeah,
like
right
Clutch Cargos there too?
What year? Hold on.
The church?
It's back
yeah,
to a church.
It is a church again. Yep.
The
can
only
I get a,
club
can I get a glass,
open.
Please?
Correct me if I'm wrong if anything else is open, but Tonic's gone.
Yes.
Mustang James, a.k.a. Tiki Bob's, is gone.
But it will be Vogue.
Yeah. Electricity Vogue. Dominates that. And
Crowfoot's
a lot of people
still there.
Oh, Crowfoot, yeah.
And the Crowfoot
a lot of
still has a lot of shows.
Pike Room. Yeah, well, yep. Yeah, I'm going there on the 20th.
There
for yeah.
So, I mean,
Blind Guardian.
I would encourage people to like, go and
Power
check it out because it's not a total desert anymore. There's things going on. And
it was for a
there.
Long time.
Oh,
and people are scared of that because a lot of dumb shit has happened in that area where
sure.
Yeah,
you know
Tonic
crazy,
and
though?
Idiots and
so they yeah. they changed over to the Oakland County Sheriff, which is one block away from our place, and the downtown crime rates are lower than Birmingham.
Really?
So for whatever you've heard about Pontiac, like there's never been a moment where any of us have ever felt and threatened whatsoever. We've been there for a year, building mm-hmm. out that place till like 2-3 in the morning. It's a totally safe environment. If you want, bring your own food in. You can order pizza and have it delivered to us until we to order or bring our own food in. So you know, it's not what you think Pontiac was. Downtown is definitely going in the right direction. So we'd love to have you, but just even if you don't come and see us, come and see what's going on in Pontiac.
Yeah.
I love Pontiac. I really do.
I was going to say this, like with everything that was going on there with the emergency manager and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as getting set up in Pontiac, how was that process with the city?
It was surprisingly not difficult. Like we spent a lot of time calling the city to get in, but once we got on the schedule, we showed up and we were there. We were last on the agenda, but I almost couldn't say what I was talking about fast enough for them to say, yes, please come in here. So they've been completely supportive. The mayor is ready whenever we have a grand opening. She's ready to come down and do the ribbon cutting and everything else. And now with the M1 concourse, that's about like 500 yards away from us. So there's stuff that's going on down there, and I think they're really wanting things to come back up, and there's it's not as difficult as you might have imagined.
Well, you know, and speaking of Pontiac, you know, close by to Pontiac is Rochester Hills, where you can find Zatuna Liquor. Thanks for jumping the gun,
yeah,
ass. So.
Good job, Matt.
If it wasn't for me, you would have totally forgot about it.
He was dropping it right there.
Are you kidding? I know how to do my drops.
By the way, Rob, very good. At yeah. room temp. Wow.
At room temp.
Love it.
So Zatuna Liquor, you can pick up plenty of beers, wine, liquor, especially if you're in Pontiac. Have you ever been to Zatuna yet?
I have not.
You need to check out Zatuna. It's on Rochester Road, just south of M59. Great liquor store. Go say hi to Jack. Tell him we sent you. Definitely one of those guys to where if you're looking for a beer, wine, or liquor, and they distribute it to Michigan and he can get it, he will get it and will get it for you. Definitely a people person. Great rapport. Definitely gets all the small batch beers that you can get, like No Rules, KBS, anything like that. But definitely go check it out. Meet Jack. Talk to Jack. Jack loves talking to people, loves meeting new people.
Yes, he does.
He's definitely one of those. It's hard to leave sometimes. Jack's a talker, that's for sure. But check it out again, 50 or Rochester Road, just south of M59. Plenty of stuff to buy. It's a full-on party store, so you can get some snacks.
Great cigars,
there.
Too, even.
Yeah, a small little walk-in humidor over there.
Is that right across from, like, the big boy?
Yes, yep. It is. It used to be the old Carl's Golf Land.
Right next to the Bell Tire.
Yep. Discount Tire.
Discount Tire. Tire Shop.
Same. Tire Shop.
Yep.
Same. Tire.
So we did just pass a beer around real quick.
Yes.
Dan liked it, so why don't you tell us what it is while
now,
I'm drinking
now
it.
Now that it does, because I got pretty much yelled at last, I think it was 2 weeks ago, because it was cold.
Was it only 2 weeks ago?
I think it was 2 weeks ago, because I was not aware that an English-style ale should be served
room
at room temp.
Room temp.
So now we have a room temp version of Clown Shoes Trillionaire.
Freaking delicious.
Which is their English-style barley wine ale that is aged in Scotch barrels.
So good. Is it bad? You're drinking it. No.
Hell no, it's not bad. There's a reason why.
Brings out the flavor when it's
room
temp, doesn't it?
There's a reason why I have three more bottles of this in the basement.
Yeah.
And now, yes, this is definitely. I actually enjoyed it when it was cold the couple weeks ago, but with it being at room temp, I think I do actually like it a little bit
Never
more.
Never drinking English ale cold. I thought I taught you guys well. I mean, the way it comes out, the flavors come out so much better. It's
amazing. This is a straight up PSA from G.I. Joe. That's now half the battle. I'm good.
Ken, what do you think?
I liked
it. Your phone. You're worried about
I'm worried about text messages, Facebook, keeping up with our
social media.
You know, that's the kind of world we live in, Dan, where we have to work in social media as much as you.
You know, I do pretty freaking well without being on Facebook. Thank you.
Yeah, but
I mean, really well.
Not for this.
You're
not helping us by not being on social media.
I'll just delete the web page later. You're welcome.
Well, fuck you. I pay for the web page.
Wait, I put it together. So
yeah, but I pay for it. So
you didn't put it together.
But I pay for it.
We'll just call Glass Houses people.
Hey, call them.
Do you want a website? Go ahead.
Whoa.
You don't pay, by the way,
you don't
pay anything for the
low
website.
Blow.
So.
Yes, I do.
I'll take your $2 a month.
Free beer.
It's about $1 a month. Oh. $12 a year.
Is this a WWE network?
This $9.99. Get all your pay-per-views, including two a month now. Congratulations.
Two a month?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
They're up to two a month now.
Damn, how much money did they earn?
Right now, it's actually worth it. Both shows are really good.
There's like 19 pay-per-views a year now, as opposed to 12.
See, and I let that little subscription lapse because I actually, for some reason, the majority of the debit cards of my credit union got compromised from Wendy's.
That's the worst.
So I ended up getting a new card, and I just never renewed it. So
worst. I remember
spicy chicken sandwich.
Exactly.
The TJ Maxx hack back in 2006, 2007 would have been the years. Yeah, the TJ Maxx hack, that hit a lot of us at the bank that I was working at. And getting people coming in pissed off. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I did not do this. I'm going to get you whatever you need. And just, you know, that was the worst thing about working at a bank is when you just had absolutely no control over something.
Oh, yeah.
It was like when they overdrafted and you kept charging me. And I'm like, well, you shouldn't have used money that you didn't have.
Exactly.
I mean, I can understand one. Like, I was so lenient in regards to, like, there are people who would overdraft and then deposit money the next day, and I'm like, you know what, I'll refund your money. That's perfectly fine. I understand a day. You know, maybe you didn't know it was going to hit right away or something like that. No problem.
Oh, no.
But when you're buying, you know, McDonald's and liquor store and KFC and, then you come 2 weeks. Thank you very much. I caught that.
McDonald's.
Oh, my God. I am sorry, Dan, that I got fat. I will slim down.
White Castle, Wendy's, McDonald's.
So as we kind of close up, we got 2.5 minutes to go. Experimentation, where can they find you locally? Like, what's your address, Facebook, Twitter, okay. MySpace, Friendster, Tinder, Grindr?
Yeah, we're big on Tinder.
Ashley Madison.
You're big on Tinder. What about Grindr? Where can I find you all on Grindr?
You on Thrender?
We're at 7 North in Saginaw in Pontiac. We do have the experimentationbrewing.com website. Also, Experimentation Brewing on Facebook. We've got an Instagram and Twitter and all that other stuff. Swarm Untapped. So
Swarm.
Yeah,
it's Foursquare.
Oh, basically. Yeah,
gotcha.
Trying to keep up with that stuff, man. I wasn't really big on the social media until we got back into this, but we're trying to be everywhere. So if you put a name in, you should find us.
Oh, and with their kind of awesome logo, with it's like half calculus, half quadratic equation.
Hold on, going on Tout. Can I find him there?
Find him in Tout. Find him on what's the actual Tout that worked? Vine? Yeah, Vine.
Oh, Vine.
You can find him on Vine.
Snapchat. Last Vine I have is when, was it McCown getting blasted by Sue?
Oh, my gosh.
Like, that was 2 years
ago. Was that the Chicago Bears one?
It was there, or the Tampa Bay?
I remember the Bears one where it was Cutler. He hit Cutler like 5 yards past the line of scrimmage, and he got like a roughie in the passer, and he's like, what?
Yeah, he was a runner.
He's like,
McCown was a Brown when that happened.
Just find him. Find him on MySpace.
McCown the nut shot that he like wound up doing like a 360?
That was Houston. Bald guy. Bald guy. Thanks, Brian Hoyer. Not Brian Hoyer.
I thought that was T.J. Yates.
Schaub.
Wasn't Rogers.
Matt
Schaub.
Thanksgiving. Yeah, went up.
When the foot went up.
He can do a 360 fall on the ground nut tap perfectly.
But he can't kick a field goal. Come on.
Well, no, I think that was an extra point.
Okay.
That was probably one of the smartest decisions I ever saw, because you know why he got that pick kick, right? Because
he was a soccer player.
No. He had won a contest to not do laps or something like that day.
Oh, really?
So all the linemen had a kicking contest, and the winner didn't have to do their laps that day or whatever.
But they could have called a timeout to let him get a practice.
Yeah. So, but that was like he kicked like a few 40-yarders. But anyways, that's going to do it for us here. Experimentation, we thank you for coming on out.
Thank you.
Once again, no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's better on draft. Have a good night.